church. I'm going to be reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21 in the English Standard Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Amen. When you think about ambassadors that work on behalf of a country, perhaps no one stood out more than Benjamin Franklin. Here's a picture of Benjamin Franklin being welcomed to France. In 1776, Franklin was sent to France at a time when the American cause looked fragile and uncertain and even doomed. He didn't go there with an army. He went there only armed with his influence. He studied the culture, he built relationships, he earned trust, and he represented this new country of America so well that the entire nation of France decided to stand behind a cause that wasn't originally their own. He knew he wasn't there to promote himself, he was there to represent something bigger. And history shows that he did it so well that he helped change the course of the world. What Tim just read for us tells us in Scripture that we, as followers of Jesus, are ambassadors, not for an earthly nation, but for the kingdom of God. And just like Franklin, we don't go with an army, we go armed with influence. We build our relationships and earn trust, and we speak the gospel, and we represent a king in such a way that people are drawn to that kingdom that they didn't even know that they needed. As Jesus followers, the question isn't whether we have been sent, it's how well we are representing the one who sent us. And this is our 10th week looking at how the world and the flesh and the devil are constantly pulling us away from who we are meant to be. But the Bible tells us some amazing things about our identity, and these things are not based in feeling, but based in the firm foundation of God's word. So far, we've talked about how we are free. We are made in God's image. We are a child of God, a saint, producers of spiritual fruit, a member of the body of Christ, servants, citizens, worshipers. And today, on this last Sunday of the series, we'll see how we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is someone sent to represent another, equipped with their authority, their message, and their character. An ambassador is a trusted representative who speaks and acts on behalf of someone greater. An ambassador is someone who carries the heart and the message and authority of their home kingdom into this world. And Paul tells this new church in Corinth that they are ambassadors for Christ. Let's look at that again in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, Paul tells this church, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You, if you are a Jesus follower today, you have been given the assignment to help reconcile people back to their maker. Jesus did the hard part. Jesus died to make it all possible, and all we have to do is tell people that Jesus came to save them from their sins if only they put their faith and trust in him. See, Jesus wants to forgive every wrong that every person has ever done. He did the work. It's done. Now it's our assignment to tell people about it in hopes that they will be reconciled to God and his beautiful creation. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the awesome and prestigious job title of ambassador. You're sent out into this world to please the cause of the kingdom, that people be reconciled back to God by having them understand their need for a Savior and that Jesus paid the price for their sin. That's your job. The job is not for you to get your opinion out there so that everybody agrees with you. The job is not to make yourself look like you're some holy person. The job is to tell broken people in this world that Jesus wants to heal them of their sin sickness. You are sent into a world to please the plead the cause of the kingdom. In the world today, we have something called brand ambassadors, right? And these are people to simply tell you how that this face cream will make you look like your favorite celebrity. Or how this pill will just make you lose that dreaded belly fat. And whether or not these people believe the cause that their ambassador for is up for debate, most of them are just trying to make some money, right? But we want to be more like an ambassador that pleads the cause of his kingdom than someone that pushes an agenda for their own personal gain. See, we are ambassadors for something so much better than earthly things. We aren't presenting some cheap, junk. We're not like the ShamWow guy that's trying to make it look so amazing. The product is amazing itself. C.S. Lewis said something, I think it was him, said something once that said, the gospel doesn't need defended. It's a lion, you just need to let it loose. Right? And it has the power. And the power is this. God, the one that made you, the one that breathed life into you, wants to give you your purpose back. God wants to take away the guilt and the shame and the debt of sin that we have taken on. He wants to heal you and make you new. When I was in college, sometimes you go through kicks of like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm trying to lose weight, And there was a time where I had bought, several 2 liters of soda. And I guess I was just chugging them, trying to stay awake at different places. And I decided, though, that, okay, this is what's going to make me not chubby anymore in this certain way, is I'm not going to drink soda anymore. And so I had all these unopened 2 liters of soda, and I was walking around the dorm room. There was, it was a house, and there was like 10 other guys in there with me, and I was just asking them, hey, do you want this soda, these 2 liter brand new unopened sodas? And everybody was saying no to me. I'm like, I know you're gonna go and buy this Coke later. I just want this out of my room, out of my fridge, so that I don't drink it. And everybody was saying no. Have you ever had that happen to you where it's like, I'm trying to give you something good? And eventually, with these people, I'm like, why would you even say no, right? And if we present the gospel in the way that God intended it to be presented, it will draw people to itself. And why would you even say no to the amazing faith that we can have in our God, to never be alone, to not have any worries about what's next in this life, to know that you can constantly come back to him and that God wants to reconcile you back to him? Why would you ever say no? We're ambassadors for something so much bigger than earthly things. Every person on earth needs Jesus. And a Christ-centered life would make every person on earth better. Jesus changes everything. And every person that has ever lived needs Jesus. Following Jesus would help every person on earth. And that's the message that you are an ambassador for. People need Jesus. Tell them about him. What better use could your life have? Implore people to be reconciled to God. The great exchange that he takes our sin and we get a new life. Sin broke the world and it broke the relationship between God and his people. But Jesus took care of all that and he made a way, and now people simply just need to know. But how can they hear without a preacher? When you say, Pastor Phil, I'm not a preacher. I didn't go to seminary. Neither did any of these guys. What they did is they believed on Jesus Christ and they allowed God to use their gifts and told people about him, and they turned the world upside down. Jesus took our place, and someone just needs to tell them. And Jesus put our sin on his shoulders so that we could take on his righteousness. Jesus did all the work, and we just need to tell everyone that they can put off their old life and put on a new one. Our reconciliation with God is possible only because Christ went to the cross and received the punishment due for our sin. And when our Savior cried out, "It is finished," the barrier between a sinful man and a holy God was removed, making all those who trust in him holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Jesus reconciled us to God. And then Jesus left us the mission to reconcile others to Christ. And this world is a tough place to live in. Life is hard. Tragedy happens. And if you don't have someone to lean on and rely on, it can be really lonely. And there's so many people out in this world that feel alone. And we are sent to reconcile those people back to God and welcome them into a vibrant body of Christ called the church. Because no one was made to walk alone. You hear that all the time. People talk about loneliness and that loneliness epidemic. Why? Because belonging is a core need of the human condition. How many of you remember, maybe when you were younger, there was always that friend that was never happy unless they were dating somebody, right? And it was just back to back to back to back. Everybody yell out their name all at once, you ready? But that's a misplaced desire, but that desire is from God, right? To be known and yet still loved. That's what we all want, for someone to really know me and still love me. We want people to see us, the real us, in an authentic way and still like us. And this need to be known is not an accident. You were made by your Creator with this longing. In fact, the gospel is all about God making a way for you to belong with him. There's a sign that used to be in the cafe as you walk in, and it said, "You belong here." It fell down, and we still want you to belong here. It all bent up, and it was crazy, and we hope to put another one there, and we're working on it. But one of our goals as a church is to be a place where you belong. And where you feel maybe out of place at work, maybe out of place in your family, in your neighborhood, in society, but you belong here. And we want everyone to feel that way. Why? Because Jesus did it for us. And he made a way for us to belong. And that we need your help, though. It can't just be Pastor Jared and us, and we running around trying to make everybody feel like they belong. Or Megan or Val. But that's why that gather word is in our mission statement, to gather, grow, and give. Gather together like it makes a difference. And grow together like never before. And give like we won't run out. See, the first step of a person being reconciled with God is putting their faith and trust in Jesus to save you. That's called salvation. But the next step is sanctification. And that's the process of looking more and more like Christ as we grow in relationship with God and fellow Christians. You are meant to be a part of a church. Sanctification is a group project. How can you possibly love one another if you don't have any others around? How can you be someone that forgives if you don't have anybody that wrongs you? That's the place, that's where church is, where people just wrong each other and then they forgive each other. That's why when people are like, church is messy and there's a lot of hypocrites there. Yeah, come on in. The water's fine. The church, you're meant to be a part of it as a Christian. And sanctification, there's some of you in the room, you've really helped me with that. You just helped me learn how to forgive and to be better. Ron's one of them. Church is not an event. Church is not a building. The church is a connected people, a family that welcomes and belongs to one another. And when things get tough and when things get hard, you hold on. And you say, God, make me better through this. Teach me something through this. And if you're a church member, we need you to join in as ambassadors that ruthlessly eliminate barriers to belonging. You might go to a church sometimes and you feel like you're just, when we would go on vacation growing up, now we have live streams so we can join in and watch with y'all, but my parents would take us to all these strange little churches out in the middle of nowhere, and there was times, literally, they asked us if we sang, like if we, I had three other brothers, and so I don't know if we looked like a singing group or something like that, but like little small churches. And there were times where you felt like you were walking in the back of the room and you were interrupting something, right? And you're like, oh, my bad, you know, as a visitor there. Are there times that people use insider language, language that doesn't make sense to the people outside the walls? We don't want to do that. We want to take away all the barriers to belonging. Now, we're going to stand on the truth of God's word, and that's never going to change. And we're not going to stop talking about our sin or that God loves us or the cross or the blood. We're not going to do that because those are essential. But have you ever had somebody pray for a hedge of protection around you? If you've been in church for a very long time. I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. I know what a hedge is. We have hedges at our house, you know. Those things are things that might not make sense. They make sense to us on the inside, but maybe not outside, people that haven't grown up in church, and there increasingly is more and more people that haven't had that same experience that maybe we did. So we need you to help us open our arms and open our hearts and our homes and our friend groups. And you're like, I have enough friends, but there are other people out there that don't. And to open these things to people that we come in contact with, and to introduce yourself to people and introduce new people to the staff and say, hey, have you met them? I've got a few people in the church that are awesome at that. And they're like, hey, this is a visitor. Here's Pastor Phil, and we want you to meet them. And introduce yourself. And then help people connect and belong. Because people are lonely and people are isolated. And we thought, you know, everybody talked about that 6 years ago. That's crazy, right? During 2020. Everybody talked about when we get back, we're going to do all these things together. And we're, you know, we can't do it now, but we're going to do it then. And I'm not sure how much that's changed. And maybe you have, and that'd be awesome. But I know this, that people are still lonely. But we are in belonging ambassadors. Why? Because this is what Jesus did for us. Colossians 2:13 tells us that you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Every wrong that we have ever done, every lie that we've ever told, every wicked thought, every wicked word, the times that we've hurt people around us, all those things drive wedges between us and God. But Jesus made a way. And he paid the price so that we could be with him. We were dead and we had no hope. We were spiritual criminals, and the list of charges against us was long, but Jesus made a way for us to belong to the family of God. People need to know. There's a person that Noah and I have been working on inviting to church, and we actually have sent some other people over there to go and see if we can invite them to church. And he recently told one of us that, I don't know enough about, you know, the Bible to come to church. And we're like, no, that's it. You know, like, come on. We want them to know that, hey, anybody can jump in. No matter who you are, no matter how much you need to know, you can be a part of the family of God. Because Jesus canceled all the debt that we had against him and all the sentences that went along with it. He nailed it to the cross. And Jesus took action and he fought for us to belong. And now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Jesus reconciled us to God. And then Jesus left us the mission to reconcile others to himself. And the world knows that it's not good for people to feel alone. In 2020, the University of Southern California hired a person with the title Director of Belonging. They did a study on their students and found out how lonely and hopeless people were, and they realized that they needed to step in and do something about it. So that's the sole job of the Director of Belonging, to help people feel like they belong. And we need each of us to be directors of belonging too. Because people are going to put on all their airs, and you're going to ask them how they're doing, and they're going to say fine. And you're going to ask them about their life, and they're going to stay really surface. But we need to find ways to get deeper with each other. Because the Bible is full of these commands that start or end with one another. And it's such a pivotal phrase for a follower of Jesus, to love one another, forgive one another, be patient with one another. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and keep to yourself. If you're actively following Jesus, he will lead you to people. The Bible calls this hospitality, where you welcome strangers into your home and tell them to make themselves at home, essentially saying, you belong here. Take your shoes off. Take my favorite chair. Go look around in the medicine cabinet if you want to. We are a family. And you belong here. And sometimes when we have, hey, it's not always going to be clean. Sometimes it's going to be messy. One of the first churches that I worked in, I got in a big argument with a guy because he was upset. I was bringing all these kids to church. I would go and stop at this trailer park, and we'd load up like 32 kids in a 15-passenger van. And I was like 22. I didn't have any qualms about that at all. But there were fingerprints on the inside of the wall, you know, on the doors and on the windows. He was so mad about it, and he told me that how much Jesus would have cleaned his room, and I was so confused about what he was talking about. I was like, hey, this is evidence that people are here. And yes, sometimes that means we've got to clean things up, and it's annoying, and it's especially annoying when you just cleaned it, and now it's messy again, and we get that, but that's, an empty building would stay cleaner longer. And so those fingerprints of those children's hands that were on the windows of the church van, that was evidence that we were welcoming people in. And it's messy sometimes, but we need to be directors of belonging. And in order to do that, we need to be ready for people. We need to do some things differently. One, we need to be authentic and real. No one likes a phony. And today, people can smell a fake smile 100 yards away. We had to learn how to do that, right? We've had to learn how to tell real things from fake things because they're constantly being pushed into our eyes online. And we see so much of it that's fake. So people aren't looking for perfect. We're looking for authentic and genuine. And a person won't feel like they belong if you're fake. So first, we need to be real. And that means sometimes admitting that we struggle, admitting that we have problems, admitting that we don't have it all together. And next, Rich Velotis says that in order to break down barriers to belonging, we cannot turn preferences into convictions. In the New Testament, the people that fought the most against belonging were the Pharisees. And they had all the rules about everything. And they let you know that you didn't stack up to their opinions and their thoughts and their rules. And doing that pushes people away. We have to stay the main thing, the main thing. We have to fight past barriers to belonging by first representing Christ out in the community, telling people that through Jesus, we are reconciled to God, and then being intentional about welcoming people into our church family. So each of you, we need all of you enlisted as belonging warriors, finding those that feel disconnected and you connecting with them. And a handshake on Sunday morning is awesome, but it's not enough. We need to seek people out who might feel like they are disconnected and let them feel like they belong and welcome them in. Get their name and really remember it. Write it down when they're not looking. Or say some dumb shenanigans like people used to do with me, fill up my gas can, because my name's Philip, you know. I don't know why. Philly cheesesteak was another big one too. Learn their names, do all the little things, and be intentional. Text them or message them, send them a gift card, bake them a pie, ask them to lunch or coffee. Meet them over here at the church picnic. Decide to stay, even when you're one of those people that are like, I'm not eating food the people brought to a church picnic. Hey, do it anyway. You pray over that food, and it'll be sanctified, and you'll be fine. Why? Because we're doing this for a purpose, for a reason. And the reason is that God reconciled us to himself, and we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And if you find someone that feels alone in our church, that's God giving you an assignment to make them feel like they belong. And you'll find, as you do, they will open up and they will share, and you'll both grow closer to the Lord together. Jesus' whole ministry was a big, fat welcome to come to him. Revelation 22, 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. We need you to fight to find a couple people and make them feel at home. And those are probably not people that you met 30 years ago. It's probably someone you don't know that well. And obviously, we don't want you to harass people or creep them out or peek in their windows. That's not what we're talking about. But most of us are not in danger of that at all. The gospel calls you to find new people, because following Jesus leads you to people. People you don't know, people who have never done anything for you, to talk to them about Jesus and give them a place to belong, just like Jesus did for you. Go. Go help people. Know that they have a place and that they're not alone. And that place is in your life and in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus reconciled us to God. And then Jesus left us the mission to reconcile others to him. You've been given this assignment as an ambassador to reconcile people back to their maker. Jesus did the hard part. Jesus died to make it possible. And all we have to do is speak his name in love and in truth. Because Jesus can save them from their sins if only they believe. A Christ-centered life would make every person's on earth life better. Jesus changes everything. I didn't say it would be easy. I didn't say all their dreams would come true, but it will be better without question. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you are an ambassador for Christ. It's who you are. It's your identity. Because God is drawing all people to himself. The harvest is ready. And he's saying to all people, come. The mission isn't just something you do. It's something that we are. If you're in Christ, you are an ambassador. You've been sent. You carry this message in his heart and his authority into the world that is desperate for hope, desperate for forgiveness, and they're confused and they're desperate to belong. As we go through the world, we represent another kingdom. And it's our responsibility to reflect the official position of heaven found in the words of our King. We are in this world, but we're not of it. But we're sent to it. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we must take the message of our King to the ends of the earth, imploring men and women everywhere to be reconciled to God. So go. Go tell them that Jesus died for them. Show them what his love looks like. Speak the good words of Jesus. Do good works inspired by Jesus. Go make room in your life so that others can belong. Because what greater purpose could your life have than this, to represent your King and help bring people home to him? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. These 10 things are our identity that never change. Our identity is in Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as the worship team comes again. We talked a lot about being a follower of Jesus and what that means to you if you are already a follower. But maybe you're here and you're not. Maybe today you haven't ever put your faith and trust in Jesus. And today is that moment where God is calling you to himself, to reconcile you to him. You can bring all your burdens, all your sin, all your guilt and your shame, and Jesus is bigger than all of it. No one is too far away from him. You don't have to know all the ins and outs of the genealogies and all the Bible knowledge. Because that's not where it starts. It starts with a relationship. And you do need to know this, that God made you. God breathed life into you. But sin broke this world because God gave us a choice. He didn't make robots. He made us people with a free will to choose right and wrong. And over again, we've chosen ourselves. We've chosen our way rather than God's way. And because of that, war and death and famine and disease and pain has flooded this world. And the whole Old Testament is the story of God giving the people of Israel ways to get to him and them continually disobeying and complaining. But God didn't throw them away. God made a way for us to get to him by getting off the throne of heaven, Jesus, an equal part of the Trinity, stepping into this world, putting on flesh, living a perfect and a holy life, and teaching lessons this world had never heard of before, and doing miracles, walking on water, and feeding the 5,000. And it all led to him walking up the hill of Calvary to die on the cross in our place. Every Old Testament sacrifice of the Lamb was pointing to Jesus Christ, whose blood would cover us forever. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What that means is, when sin is done in this world, there's a price to pay. And I have racked up a big sin debt. But Jesus took on all the sin of the entire world. The only innocent person to ever live died for all of us guilty people. And Jesus died in our place. That's the gospel. That you don't have to pay for your sin because Jesus already paid for it. Now, you can choose to pay for your sin and reject God and say, I got this. But you don't want to do that. To be separated from God forever in a place called hell. No, you can put your faith and trust in Jesus right now in this moment. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8 that God commended his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could call out to God right now in this moment. It's not a magic prayer or a pledge of allegiance or anything like that. It's a cry from your heart. But with something like this, you can call out and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. I put my faith in what you did on the cross to save me. I put my faith in the resurrection 3 days later when you rose from the grave. God, make me alive. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that's you today, you made that choice for the first time or maybe the first time you've understood it. Write that down on your connection card before you put it in the offering boxes. Right, I chose Jesus because I'd love to follow up with you and talk about this amazing thing called being a Jesus follower, a Christian. Let's stand to our feet. We'll continue to worship. Altar's open today. If you have something that you need your church family to pray with you about,